Welcome back, Brett Phillips in for Randy. Great opportunity for us to catch up with one of the legends of the game, Nick Revol, because Matty Shield is coming up, of course, ahead of the Big Bash League final. And, geez, some good names being assembled. And talk a bit of footy with Nick as well. Great to have you back on SEN, Nick.
Thank you. Yeah, good to be on and really looking forward to the game. So I've had a little bit of exposure to the cricket over the summer with our relationship at Matty's Vision with the Stars and the Renegades, and we've got a few of those guys lined up, presuming they don't make the final, of course, to play in Matty Shield this year, which will be great.
It's going to be outstanding. Sunday, February 17, so battling it out in the T20 cricket contest ahead of the BBL final to raise, obviously, some great funds for Matty Shield version number three. And as I look down at some of the names, you might just want to reel a few of them off, Nick, because a few that, well, I know are very good with bat in hand, a few that I don't know how good they are with a bat in hand.
Well, some of the obvious stars from the Australian cricket circuit, we've got Glenn Maxwell, presuming the Stars don't make the BBL final. Simon O'Donnell, former Australian cricketer, and a lot of footy players as well. I've called in the troops to come and support down at Prahran Cricket Club on the 17th. And Brendan Goddard, who played last year, actually cleaned Brendan up. So I'll be hoping to do the same again this year. He wasn't too happy as well. He said, well and truly spat the dummy. Might have even thrown some pretzels when he got out. Damien Oliver, like Australian jockey. Bob Murphy, who actually bowls a pretty good leggy, Bob. Mm. Nick Del Santo, he struggles. One of the SEN boys, but he really does struggle out on the cricket wicket. So that'll be good for a laugh. Jonathan Brown, who's pretty sharp off the long run brownie. Yeah. Jordan Lewis, the four-time Premiership Hawk. So a great assortment of WBBL players as well that will get along and support us. Alana King hit the winning runs last year. David Hussey will be captaining the other team. So it's going to be a great day.
Yeah, it's obviously one of your sort of big key events as part of what you do for Matty's Vision overall right throughout the year. We know, obviously, the impact the round has in AFL footy a little bit later on the year. Nick, this is a really important day, though, for you.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's. I mean, clearly, given our links to football, we've relied really heavily on the football community to support Matty Revolt's vision and trying to transcend footy a little bit. Been really well supported this year by the Stars and the Renegades, and this will be the third instalment of Matty's Shield, which is played out at the Prahran Cricket Club. And a great fun day for all of those people that play, but also the people that come along as well. They're treated to a pretty good show. The standard's generally been pretty good. So a lot of fun, great sort of interaction on the day as well, and raising much-needed funds towards bone marrow failure syndrome. We've raised in excess of $7 million. This will be our fourth year in operation, and got currently 13 research projects out there making a significant difference in the medical research landscape. So it's a really positive event in terms of the impact that it can have too.
And obviously something that would make your family very proud, Nick.
Absolutely. I mean, we're a very fortunate position, I suppose, where, we'd rather not be doing it because we'd be still, celebrating Matty's life. But I guess, a position such as ours where we felt like there was a responsibility to do something with the platform that we had through footy to be able to raise awareness for an area that was under-resourced. So we take a lot of pride. We know that Matty would be really proud. She had a pretty healthy ego, Matty. So to know that she has a cricket game named after her, a football game named after her, she'd be really proud of that. And obviously the impact that it's having on other people that are suffering, she'd be really proud of her legacy.
Yeah, absolutely. Nick Revol joining us, Matty Shield version 3 coming up Sunday the 17th of February, Prahran Cricket Club. And some of the names that Nick reeled off there: Jordan Lewis, Jonathan Brown, Cam Mooney, Nick Del Santo, Bob Murphy, Damien Oliver, who I believe goes okay, Brendan Goddard, Simon O'Donnell, Glenn Maxwell, if he's not playing in that final, hopefully it can be along as well. And there's quite a few primary schools, I think, getting involved. Philippa Grogan on board for the best baked goods competition as well, Nick.
No, I mean, that's a great part about, I think, Australian sport is the ability for grassroots and community level people to get involved, and that's what Matty's Shield is all about. It's about putting on a fun, exciting day of cricket, but also a lot of the activation and engagement with the community, such as a primary school. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We just really encourage everyone to get down. We're going to be showing the BBL final afterwards as well. So it's a full day of cricket for those that are into it.
Yeah, great stuff. And I think everyone naturally will just sort of get behind it and obviously getting behind it during the footy season as well. Just while I've got you for a couple of minutes, Nick, your old team, what are you detecting in a year that it sort of got off to a bad start and never recovered last year, but the slate clean, some new faces on and off the field into the footy club. You're obviously still, you know, pretty close to the scene. What are you expecting of the Saints this year as they try and rebound from a year that went against the grain of what they were sort of doing to, you know, certainly improve the last few years under Alan Richardson?
Oh, the only way is up, isn't it, from where we're coming from? So, look, I think you're right. Last year was really disappointing, and it's amazing in footy. Once the wheels sort of fall off early and you just lose that little bit of confidence, particularly with a young group, that can be really a difficult thing to recover. So a little bit more experience around the place in players like Dan Hannabury and Dylan Roberton back essentially as a new recruit from his heart scare. So Brett Ratton comes in, who's been a senior coach as well. So I'm sure he's provided a lot of guidance for some of the younger players. And I'm just really excited to see the group evolve. Jack Billings and Jay Gresham, exciting young talent, and young bloke named Max King, who, yep, you know, there's really big raps on. So from a, you know, from a St Kilda supporters and a passionate members point of view, I'm excited to see the growth that transpires. And with my media hat on, I hope that occurs, because I didn't take too much pleasure in having to critique them last year.
Just on Max King, you mentioned, a young man I imagine you're going to watch fairly closely. You might have left a little note in his locker, I believe.
Yeah, I did. I didn't know it was going to be his locker at that stage. That was that was late last year. But
yep.
Really, really excited to have met Max a few times and to have handed over the number 12 to him is you know, that's another one of the great things about footy is the fact that while you're in there, you really are just, you know, I guess a stakeholder at the time, and then you move on and then the new incumbents take over. So I'm really excited to see his progress, and we'll work with him as much as I possibly can to help him become the player that all St Kilda people want him to be. But geez, to stand next to him is an incredible specimen. He's just such a big kid, and not an ounce of fat on him. So clearly a real pro, and he'll give himself every opportunity by sheer nature of the fact that he just really prepares well.
One player we're going to watch extremely closely, and I mean, just being back at Moorabbin, I don't want to go over old ground. It was a talking point when you played about, you know, going to Seaford, but gee, the redevelopment of Moorabbin looks fantastic. What do you think that's done for the footy club, just to get back to its, you know, home for such a long time?
Oh, well, it makes the football club desirable to begin with as a destination club. That was a really difficult sell when you're trying to attract other players, and free agency has become such a big part of the game that, you know, when you're trying to attract players to come down to Seaford, that was pretty tough. So there's that. But I think from an engagement, community engagement perspective, the move to Seaford really disconnected the football club, I think, from their supporter base. So to be able to get back to the traditional home, the fans want to go down there. They can buy a membership there. They can sit and have a coffee. They can interact with the players. All of those ingredients that were missing at Seaford now aren't an issue, and there is a flow through to the playing group in that space, and it's from all reports, I missed out by a year, but it is a much more enjoyable place to be around as a result.
What should be the expectation? Just one last one on the Saints. What should be the expectation for 2019, Nick?
I fell into this trap last year, and I think I might have said anywhere from 4th to 14th. So I gave myself a pretty wide window, and I still missed out. I think coming from you know, a 4-win season, I think the 8 to 10 wins is probably a realistic expectation. Clearly, you come in with a softer draw on the back of the poorer performance. So if you win the games that you should win and then pinch a few along the way, I think 8 to 10 is probably realistic at this stage. But again, we'll get much more of an indication over the next months. And we're all really excited for the start of AFLX and the JLT season, because you can tend to, you know, get a bit of an indication as to how teams have adjusted over the summer, what style they're going to adopt, and how that might translate into the season proper. So, yeah, just looking for marked improvement across the board, really.
Just on AFLX that you mentioned, I mean, we're going to have the draft tomorrow. I think, what, about 90 names stand, or about 48, 50 that'll take part in a couple of weeks' time. If you were still playing, is that something that you would have liked to have put your hand up for, Nick, do you think? Or, you know, probably in the early part of your career. I imagine at the later end it was all about just making sure you're right for the season proper. But what do you make of the AFLX concept?
Oh, look, I think it's different, and players like the break in monotony. I know if you had the choice between, at this stage of the year, doing a pre-season session or being able to get out and play, what will it be, 3 10-minute halves or whatever it is, that you'd take that option every day of the week. And yeah, I think the fact that they're getting paid to play a pre-season game generally bodes really well with the players. So, yeah, no, they'll be putting their hand up. And, gee, the 90 down to 48, I'd love to see them all, you know, stood up on a wall like the old schoolyards, and and then some boys miss out, some get kicked. I reckon that'd be a pretty good, that'd be as good a spectacle as the actual game itself, I think.
Well, there's sort of that schoolyard element attached to it, isn't it? Just with some of the, obviously, the rules, and I think that's what, you know, Steve Hocking's been trying to envisage in this AFLX concept. So we'll see how it rolls out in a couple of weeks' time. JLT series not too far away, the season proper. What are you looking forward to the most heading into this 2019 footy season, or what will be a couple of the real key storylines in your view?
Oh, well, I think it's always the teams that tend to come from outside the eight that make the really big waves and catch people by surprise, and everyone does their predictions before the season on the final eight, and there's always one or two teams that bob up and surprise a few, and whether that's on the back of young players taking their game to another level or a new game style or trend that a coach adopts that then becomes really in vogue. That's what I look forward to from a really analytical media point of view. You know, the fact that Collingwood were able to do what they did last year surprised so many people. They did it with a huge injury list. West Coast go and win the flag without their best ruckman, best midfielder and best stopper down back. So they're the storylines that I really gravitate towards, and it's an absolute guarantee that something similar will happen this year.
It's amazing, Nick. I was watching a couple of clips just of the Gold Coast yesterday. I mean, obviously, a tough part of their history and the amount of players they've lost, and trying to get a footy club all on the same page, and they're coming from so far back. But it's amazing how footy clubs can turn so quickly if you get all the dynamics right.
Yeah, if you get belief and the game style that the players buy into, believe in, then really you can, to a certain extent, render personnel, of which the Gold Coast, you know, they struggle in that department. You know, people analysing, it's the worst list ever, all that sort of thing. But personnel can become more irrelevant if you've got a style that you believe in. And yep, I know that, you know, my boys have got them round one. And if you don't want to face a team like the Gold Coast, it's probably round one, because they're excited, enthusiastic off a pre-season. So, yeah, look, it would be an exciting time to be a part of a group like that, because the expectation is so low. They can essentially go out and have a free swing. I think they've got a great coach in Stuart Jew. He's had a terrific, he's got a terrific coaching pedigree, if you will. Learned under some brilliant people, been involved in two great systems at Hawthorn and Sydney. So, you know, you get those key pillars in place, anything's possible.
All that to come, but more immediately, Matty Shield, of course, coming up Sunday, Feb 17 at Paran Cricket Club. Of course, version 3 raising some outstanding funds for bone marrow failure research, which already some great funds have been raised. And it'll be a great day to get along. The likes of Simon O'Donnell, Brendan Goddard, Damien Oliver, Bob Murphy, Nick Del Santo, Cam Mooney, Jonathan Brown. A really fun day to bring the family out. So make sure you get behind Matty Shields Sunday, Feb 17. Nick, really appreciate your time. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.